Hour number two of Riddle and the Reporter live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Junie Riddle, Nick Kieser, Nick Fraser behind the glass. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Download their app and use the promo code THEGAME today. We just got into the positives of what we saw in Titans training camp. We didn't even get into the front seven, but they've been looking good. The backup quarterback competition is very intriguing. In the top four receiving weapons, D-Hop, Traylon, Chig, and Kyle Phillips, all looking good so far with the first team reps at Ryan Tannehill. But now we're going to get into the negatives.
Swamp.
And there are a few things that I want to get into, one of which was a surprise to me.
Yep.
And the other one, not so much of a surprise.
I think I know where you're going to go with this.
So the not-so-surprise has been the offensive line. And obviously it's been a little bit down with the Nicholas Petit-Ferrer suspension. Who's going to play right tackle? They didn't end up going with George Fant, and they wound up signing Chris Hubbard,
yep,
who I'm not very high on. I thought he had a couple good years when he came in due to injury back in 2017 through 2019 with the Steelers and Browns. He had some solid outings for a backup back then, but hasn't really done much since. Has been dealing with injury, kind of getting older. But the main guy that I have got an issue with, man,
here we go.
I'm going to tell you this. It's looking ugly the first 2 days. I saw it in person on Wednesday. I saw it all over Twitter yesterday. And that is the new signing. Outside linebacker Arden Key has been absolutely destroying another free agent they brought in, left tackle Andre Dillard.
Yep.
He has been taking his lunch money at practice, and it has got me concerned.
It really does concern me too. And they're pairing them up. It's ironic that they're both free agent acquisitions, and they're pairing them up against one another. And that's probably the evaluation you planned on having, but not necessarily the outtake you want to have currently. And moving forward with what we've seen so far, I'm not sure what Andre's going through. I'm not sure if he's been challenged with this before in a camp. But look, he doesn't look like he has his big boy pants on as tight as maybe he should. But with the challenges that are coming with training camp, and albeit, yes, they don't have the full pads on yet, but it still doesn't make me feel any better that he's getting toasted by the defense so far. And you brought up a great example. I mean, I was right there standing there, and when I was watching the linemen get work in, defense and offense, really, they all looked like it was just mechanical work. But then when it got into the nitty-gritty, that was the one area I was not happy with once we started seeing those one-on-ones. It was just not encouraging.
I will say, a surprising guy that actually did look really good, why is his name?
Well, I think I know
right
where
now.
You're going with this, and I'll let you pull up his name.
I'm sorry, Aaron Brewer. I don't know why I just blanked on Aaron Brewer's name, but Brewer actually looked pretty solid. But when it comes down to, you know, Skoronski, you know, I didn't really see much from him.
No.
I guess since he didn't stand out, I think that might be a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
But Daniel Brunskill,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got a tall task in training camp. Going up against, you know, Jeff Simmons is rough. And, you know, Jeff Simmons is definitely getting the edge on him. So I don't think there's a surprise there.
No.
But overall, the offensive line has probably been one of the weaker points of this training camp so far.
Mm-hmm.
But another position that I've had an issue with, and I kind of alluded this a little bit earlier, have been the corners.
Mm.
You know, one-on-one drills, seven-on-seven, Ryan Tannehill has been having his way with them. And one in particular that I've had an issue with is Sean Murphy Bunting. I feel like every video that I've seen from yesterday, what I saw in person on Wednesday, you know, he was getting targeted and tested a lot by Tannehill and with some of those first-team reps. And for somebody that he can play both the nickel and outside corner position, he was starting out on the outside And he was getting toasted by D-Hop, Traylon. Like all of them were kind of having their way with him. And that causes some concern with me that the corners all in all have been struggling. Even Christian Fulton a little bit has gotten some passes on. I know we're talking about DeAndre Hopkins here.
Sure.
But still, some of the other corners getting the best of him, or some of the other receivers getting the best of him.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an area on this roster that I had circled as a problem, but the first couple days I'm like, they need to step it up a bit.
Yeah, and look, and I'm glad Frazier messaged this to us. Andre Dillard versus Chance Campbell. That was one that I went back to the other day, and when I saw that clip, I thought it epitomized perfectly what it kind of looked like. And if you didn't get to see it, go check it out on Twitter. At Teron Davenport, I believe, is his Twitter handle, or just search Teron Davenport. But look, then they're out there right now too, and we're seeing a couple of these different plays kind of occur currently. But yeah, Junie, just to kind of piggyback off of what you just said, I was really confident. Like, I think my biggest takeaway, I know we're talking about kind of the negatives here, but to kind of go off of it, is it's a good sign to see Traylon be a dog right now. It's good to see him be that guy that wants to help take over the offense. You know, D-Hop said, you know, I'm going to try to make your all's wide receiver room, you know, easy anywhere. Make your job easy.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do that. But I feel like when you have 2-3 guys, the Titans have their weapons. They're very confident with what they have. And I feel like, too, I don't know why I feel negative on this whatsoever. But I feel like, and it's not going to be something we're going to be able to see until maybe even week one or the first few weeks come and go. I'm not questioning, you know, I had Kevin Byard number 3 on my list for Titans to watch out for when I was filling in for Robbie earlier this week on Robbie and Rexra with Joe. We were talking about 5 guys that stand out. And I know that on my list, I had Kevin Byard at number 3. I actually had him ahead of DeAndre Hopkins just because I know what I'm getting out of D-Hop. And the reason that Kevin's interesting to me is, yeah, he's got a lot of these headlines around him. He had to take a pay cut, and he's here helping make this team better. But I really want to see how consistent he is back there on defense. I don't think it was necessarily negative, Junie, but I do want to see how much he can capitalize as a veteran. Can he maintain composure? Can he maintain the same type of play? I think he can.
I think he definitely can.
And I want to see if he can maintain that elite level on defense and lead it. So I know that there's no question to his leadership necessarily, but I feel like given the age of what the AFC South looks like, I feel like for him, it's going to be about the reads he's able to make. And so I want to see that in training camp. Can he continue to shut down Tannehill's offense?
So when you got here, I was scrambling doing some stats.
Sure.
And I was like, nobody talk to me while I'm calculating these numbers.
You got one for me?
And I do. Last season, there were 7 games in which Christian Fulton, Amani Hooker, and Kevin Byard all played together to where they were all healthy. Only 7 out of 17 games. In those 7 games, the Titans averaged allowing 248 yards a game and only 19.7 points per game.
Okay.
In all the other games, which was 10 total, when one of those guys were out of the mix, they allowed 313.2 yards per game and 22.1 points. So a 3-point difference and well over 60 yard difference when it comes to yardage per game. And just to let you know, the league average is 223 yards per game. So the Titans secondary really needs to take a step forward this year. And this is kind of what I'm kind of going into. So the secondary right now is a concern for me. The offensive line is a concern for me. But as a roster in total, where the Titans are right now, I am much higher on them with the acquisition of D-Hop. I think they're like a fringe playoff team, which there's a lot of fringe playoff teams in the AFC. They're right in the mix with his addition. But the one thing that I think that can kill this team is its lack of
depth.
I
think so, too. And, you know, it's funny. I'm just now talking about KB. Well, Teron throws out a tweet that says Ryan Tannehill had 3 incompletions in 7-on-7. Kevin Byard knocking down a pass deep to Treylon Burks. And Christian Fulton also was right there on coverage with Nick Westbrook-Ikhine on a go route. Fulton came back and broke up a pass in the middle against Kyle Phillips. So it looks like the defense is kind of just living up to what they need to be currently, which is a good sign in practice. I like the aggressiveness. I like the competitiveness I saw from training camp. It's only going to continue to get better as we go along.
So, and I agree with you completely. The only thing about this is the last two seasons this team has led the NFL with injuries. You know, with this roster, the way it is constructed right now, they are built to compete this season.
Yes.
I am scared that injuries could hold this team back again. I don't want to see it because, really, when this team is healthy, I think that they could be scary to a lot of AFC teams.
Yep.
Maybe not to the media and what they see, but the NFL knows the Titans are going to be competitive and they're going to be a tough out.
And they could be that team that. They could be that team that is shockingly going to be that underdog that goes farther in the playoffs than what most fans thought of initially.
I agree. Tune into Nashville Sounds Baseball today at 5:35 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Norfolk Tides, AAA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. They'll wrap up their series against the Tides tomorrow at 3:05 p.m. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Coming up next, we are going to do a segment that I have been itching to do. Last Sunday, the Titans unveiled their new Oilers uniforms that they're going to wear against the Falcons and Texans at home this season. So guess what we're about to do? We're going to do a top 10 rankings of NFL throwback jerseys that we are going to see this upcoming season. You are listening to Riddle and the Reporter here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. This week's Nashville's best deal is Joyland in East Nashville. Joyland burgers will melt in your mouth. The fries are crispy goodness, and the milkshakes are sure to satisfy any sweet tooth. Get half off a $30 gift card today at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. All right, I'm ready for it. The music is going. Let it keep rolling, Frazier. Let it roll. This is the music I grew up listening to for highlights. With Boomer. And I wanted to do it for this top 10. So, let's get started with my top 10 throwback uniforms. We're going to start with 10 through 5 on this segment. And next segment, we're going to do 5 through 1.
All right.
Right here. Number 10.
Number 10. Jets 80s all white uniforms. I like them. I don't love them. Okay. I like it when the Jets have the white helmets. I think the white face mask on the green helmets, though, is what pops for me. And the different logo, it has the little jet wing on the helmet. It looks really, really good to me. And when I saw Aaron Rodgers in that uniform, I was like, okay. I hope that they do these throwback uniforms against another team on this list that I'm going to be mentioning here soon. So Jets 80s all white uniforms come in at number 10.
Okay. My number 10.
Okay.
Really quickly, Dolphins 1972. I like those.
Ooh.
Those are clean. I really like them. So I know I'm going to have a couple of little ones I want to throw in here too, but that's where I want to start with me at number 10. The Dolphins, it gives me the Dan Marino vibes a little bit. So that's where I want to start at number 10, but we're moving on.
Alrighty.
Number 9.
Alright, number 9. I got the Vikings 60s and 70s uniforms.
Oh.
Okay. I think... So, the difference in shade of purple is the one thing that I just don't like about this. I
really?
Think that the darker purple helmet with the lighter purple jerseys, it just doesn't do it for me. But it has a little bit more flash and flair than the Jets 80s all white uniforms. So I put them at number 9. I'm not the biggest fan of them, though. I know a lot of people really do like those. But for me, I don't know. It just wasn't the best. But, it, you know, it brings me back to the whole Fran Tarkenton era when the Vikings were going and losing in a bunch of Super Bowls. But still, I mean, purple people eaters, that was the best.
Okay.
So, like the Vikings uniforms at number 9.
Okay, so for me, I'm going to go Patriots 1984. So
what?
Those are those red ones.
No, at 9?
Yeah, well, you have Vikings really low. You should wait to hear where I have the Vikings.
Oh,
but I think
gosh.
The Patriots look, hey, it's a top 10. It's a top 10. But look, I got the Patriots down there. Now, I had a little debate with myself why I had them there. But look, they're in my top 10 for a good reason. I love them, but it just, I don't know, like when I see it on television, it just looks a little too much for me. I like the look. They just look like candy canes. I'm like, I don't know about this. They look good in person, but it's I'm not too big.
I didn't know if I was involved or not, but at number 10 for me, I'm going to take the Cowboys.
Ooh,
back in the day.
Okay.
And at number 9, I'm going to go the Vikings.
Okay. So we're there on the Vikings. Let's move on.
Number 8.
Number 8 for me is the New York Football Giants. And when I said I was alluding to a throwback matchup with the Jets and Giants, this is the game where I want to see the Jets in their all whites versus the Giants in their home blues. I love this jersey. It reminds me of the movie The Little Giants. You know, back when Phil Simms was there, Lawrence Taylor, it actually says Giants on the helmets. And the thing I really like is because in the modern day Giants uniforms, you don't see a lot of the red. I like the red outer line on the numbers there. And I think that it just kind of emphasizes the Giants secondary color a little bit more than they do with their modern uniforms. A little too much blue in the modern uniform. So the Giants throwbacks are coming in at number 8 for me.
Okay. 8 for me is the Cowboys. We just touched on the Cowboys from Frazier's pick. So I've got them at 8. Those are their jerseys from 94. So going back to the earlier days a little bit there. So right in that time where, you know, it was before Tony Romo, obviously. But around that time when the Cowboys were, you know, one of the renowned America's teams. That's what I like about them.
Listen, I know you guys both got the Cowboys on your list. I'm just going to go ahead and give spoilers. I left the Cowboys out. They get enough praise time.
That's fair.
I'm not giving them.
That's fair. That's
Frazier,
fair.
Who's your number 8?
The Cleveland Browns.
Ooh, the all-white Cleveland Browns.
The all-white Cleveland Browns. I'm going to go at that at number 8. It's a all solid
right.
number 8.
Okay, listen, I would rather go with the Bengals all-white. I think the Browns mooched off the Bengals there.
I agree.
I think they mooched a little bit.
That's why they're a little higher up on my list.
Okay, that's fair. Little tease. Coming in at number 7 for me. Or here
number 7.
Number 7 is going to be the Denver Broncos 70s and 80s uniforms. But with the white helmets. I do prefer the blue helmets, and if they did go with the blue helmets, they might have been a little bit higher on my list. But I think of John Elway in the drive against the Cleveland Browns wearing those old uniforms. They made the switch, and I don't mind the Broncos, like, more modern uniforms that they switched to in the 90s. But I just think, like, with the D on the helmet, the blue helmets with the orange jerseys, they just popped. They were very simple. They were very to the point. They had the old colors. I just think with the dark navy and the orange doesn't go as well with the lighter blue. Those old uniforms with that Denver D on the side of the helmet, those just look clean and classy to me. So
yeah.
I got Denver coming at number 7. Like the white helmets, though.
Yes, I like how it gives me the Durham Bulls kind of vibe,
yeah.
too. Like the throwback that's there, too. For me, it's 7. The mighty team that will not yield, Joe Rex Road. The Detroit Lions, 1934. I love those jerseys. Those are fun to see. Those are up there for me. I love seeing it on television. But more importantly, I like how it's a classic feel for a lot of these teams. They are throwing in some really good twists. They're going back in time. It's a hot tub time machine little feel for me with some of these better uniforms.
Had to plug a great movie there.
Oh, lovely. And I will not make any more Ricky Bobby references for a little bit. But look, I will go Lions at number 7. Frazier?
I'm going to take the Jets at number 7.
The Jets. Okay. So why are the Jets higher up in your list than I had them?
Well, the Jets for me, it mentions here the grunge era of the 1990s. And, you know, the Jets haven't really won anything in a while. And I feel like with this roster, this is their grunge effort of going all out. So I feel like it had more of a meaning than the Cleveland Browns for me.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of merit there for sure.
All right, Frazier, moving on.
Number six.
Number six. I got the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, me
with
too.
The red helmet.
Yes, I love that.
Listen, I have always liked the Falcons uniforms, and before they switched them up last year, like the whole Matt Ryan era and the Michael Vick era, I really like those jerseys.
Okay, wait.
They pop for me, but the old jerseys with the red helmets and the old logo,
yes.
It's so simple, and the color combination with the red and the black just goes so well together. It's such a clean look, and there's not many teams from back in the day that wore that uniform mm-hmm. that pop out to me. But simply, I just love the red and black.
Okay,
very
so
simple to the point.
I have it there too, but let me ask you, would you change their logo back to that? Because the logo on that, I feel like, is more daunting. They have a good logo.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the ones, like, it's like you rebrand it. However, here's this old throwback that we did have. But I think, based on how it looks, the scheme on the jersey itself, I think it looks good. It's on brand. You would remember it. You would say, oh, that's the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
They look really damn good in those jerseys.
Yeah.
And they play good in them, too.
I agree. I don't know. The whole, like, red, super ultra red jerseys for the Falcons, I just think the black look. And I'm one that likes, you know, different color schemes.
Sure.
When I don't know. I get frustrated with the Titans when they wear the all navy.
I can't stand it. Not a huge fan.
I like variation in color. So when you got like white pants, black jersey, red helmet, it just looks great. And I agree with you.
Yes.
The old logo is much better. It's clear, more cut of what it is. You kind of have to really search and kind of look at the Falcons' current logo.
Mm-hmm.
I like the old one better. I think it looks a lot better.
Yes.
Number six for you, Frazier.
For me, I was kind of torn between this one because I was thinking about the Falcons as well. But I think I'm going to go with the Colts. Their new all-black helmets, you know what I'm talking
You're
about?
You're kidding me. Oh, my. That's even.
Oh, my God.
That's even worse than putting Pat the Patriot at number nine. You're telling me you're putting the Indianapolis Colts at number six?
It's different. It's
awful.
Listen.
It looks terrible.
It reminds me of the Duke Blue Devils, their alternate uniforms.
And they go, right? It's in the darkness of the night. I am an Indianapolis Colts.
Hey, the reason why I put them at six is because the Colts are on the come up with Anthony Richardson.
Oh, my God.
So just be aware.
Unbelievable.
Head on a swivel.
No, hey, what?
I think the dark helmets for dark days ahead, man.
Listen,
top five is coming up next, though.
Oh, my gosh.
It is, but
I can't believe you just put the Indianapolis Colts. Listen, the helmet's okay. I can do the black helmet, but those jerseys are disgusting. They are so ugly. I can't even believe that somebody came up with that concept and put it out there and thought that that would be a good idea.
High percentage on me anchoring on the helmet design.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's – I don't know how I feel about that.
I literally can't believe you just said that. All right. Either way. Coming up next, we're going to get into our top five. The Titans unveiled their Oilers uniforms. I have a feeling that the Oilers uniforms are going to be somewhere in the three of ours top five. So coming up next, tune in to see where we put the Titans Oilers throwbacks. You're listening to Riddle and the Reporter here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Tune in to 102.5 and 106.3 The Game for weekly driver interviews leading up to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix presented by Lincoln Tech's NADC and the Nashville Sheriff. The Big Machine Music City Grand Prix will be 3 days of racing, 3 days of music, one huge weekend event. Go to themusiccitygp.com for tickets and get ready to experience Nashville's premier speed and sound event on August 4th through the 6th. We just went through our top 10 through 6 on the throwback and new uniforms that the NFL has unveiled. Now we are going to get into our top five.
Let's do it.
Frazier, hit
number
it.
Five.
Number five. I got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers creamsicle uniforms. Not going to lie. As a kid, when they came out with these, I did not like them.
Really?
I did not like them. But as I got older and I saw the history of them and the losing streak that they went into,
mm-hmm.
I've been like, okay, these are very historical. These are very different.
Yes.
No other team is ever going to wear this color scheme. And I grew to like them over time.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when Tom Brady went there, and then you saw all of those, those makeups and photoshopping him in one of those uniforms. And then to actually see them and come out and how clean they look, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I can get down with some Buccaneers jerseys.
So I initially thought about putting them in my top 10. It's very hard for me to do these jerseys and try to not forget one of them. I forgot about those. I think I would have put it in for sure. I want to have it in there.
Well, vice versa. I forgot the Dolphins, and I love those jerseys.
Yes. So there's all kinds of different jerseys. But my number five is going to be the old Packers 50s jerseys.
Oh.
It's a good – like I alluded to last segment, it's the historical value.
Yeah.
I like watching the NFL when they have these older throwbacks. And for me – thinking about growing up as a kid with Brett Favre wearing the throwbacks, Aaron Rodgers was wearing it last season. It's that darker green sort of look to it.
Yeah.
That was a really good jersey, I felt like, last year, and I'm sure that they will continue to honor their heritage moving forward. So I'll take that at number five.
Absolutely. Frazier?
I will be taking the Seattle Seahawks. I know, I believe it was Nick that mentioned it earlier with the Seahawks. I will be taking the Seahawks at number five. Their promo for it on social media was top-notch.
Yeah, they did. Social media team did a great job on that.
And those jerseys really pop out to me. So I love the silver helmets. Gives me a little bit of Detroit Lions vibe, but I'm okay with it.
Okay, yeah. All right, moving on.
Number four.
All right, number four, I got the Eagles 80s Kelly Green uniforms. They have not dropped yet.
Mm-hmm.
They will be dropping, I believe, on Monday, the 31st.
I think so.
I think that's what they've been teasing it and doing all these things all summer long, and they're going to be one of the last ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I already know what they look like. Listen, one of my favorite movies growing up was Invincible,
mm-hmm.
and it was about the old Eagles team. Oh, what was the player's name from Invincible?
I don't remember, but it was Mark Wahlberg, right?
It was Papali.
Yeah.
Vince Papali.
Yeah, yeah.
With the Philadelphia Eagles and how he made the team as just a guy off the streets. The Eagles were awful at the time, and he made it. And I remember just loving that movie, loving those jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
Randall Cunningham was also, a trailblazer of mobile quarterbacks back in the day. They had some really good years with him. So I'm really looking forward to this team coming off of a Super Bowl, Jalen Hurts in this high-octane offense wearing those Kelly Green uniforms.
I feel like your top five, some of these are going to make me be like, man, why didn't I put these in there? That's another one. But my number four is going to be the Vikings, the 60s jerseys.
Okay.
I think my whole theme here in my top five is – retro. I'm going, what gives me the best retro vibe possible? And I feel like the Vikings 60s is where I'm going specifically. So what they wore last year is their throwback. I love those. And ever since they went back to that color scheme, I've enjoyed that more on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like their matte finish on their helmet.
I do too.
And it looks really good with their uniform too. And I think they have an all around, it's like a good, you can always go back to those jerseys and go, those are damn good jerseys.
Yep. All right, Frazier.
Some people may hate me for this pick, but at number four, I'm going to go this Pittsburgh Steelers Bumblebee uniforms.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I don't think they're wearing them this year.
I know, but I just something about it. I'm making an honorable mention.
Did they wear those for only 1 year or
no,
a couple?
No, they wore them for a couple years. And don't get me wrong, when they wore them, they balled
yes,
out.
Yes, they did.
They were averaging 45 points a game wearing those uniforms. So I have fond memories of them as a Steelers fan.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't.
Big Ben, the Bumblebee man.
If I have to, I'm gonna go with. I believe if I look this correctly, yes. I'm going to go with the Kelly Greens as well.
Okay. So an actual jersey that they're going to wear this year. I agree. Like, Bumblebee jerseys were different. They were just a little too much for me. If anything, the jerseys they wore, the Steelers, what they wore against the Raiders on Christmas Eve last year,
their
old 1970s with the block numbers and not having the logo on their jersey, those are pretty clean. I did not put those on my list because I didn't want people saying, oh, you're just saying that.
Right.
So I didn't add them.
Yeah.
All right, Frazier, moving on.
Number three.
Number three. And this is where this jersey rightfully belongs, Nick Kieser.
Oh, no.
1980s New England Patriots, Pat the Patriot uniform. These jerseys, listen, they are so clean. And honestly, before the reveals this year, this was my number one. Like, this was cream of the crop. The Pat the Patriot logo, just with, like, the old like, actual Patriot hat from the Revolutionary War and the blue coat and getting down and taking a step, that's probably one of the best logos in NFL history. You combine that with the white helmet, the nice, clean red uniform with the white pants. Mm-hmm. It's just such a clean, nice look. And believe me, the top two, which, again, if you've been paying attention, you likely know what one of these top two is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But if it wasn't for those two, this would likely have been my number one if these two other teams didn't come out with their uniforms.
I like that. That's fine. I believe that some of those colors belong in Superman ice cream. It's just one of those, it's just one of those things that just stays with me as, you know, they're based. I think growing up, the Patriots were the Alabama version for me in the NFL, and I always wished they would lose. But Tom Brady persevered. My number three is going to be the Seattle Seahawks' newest throwback. I've told you both off the air, even at times, that I love these uniforms. And I believe growing up, seeing Russell Wilson spark and doing really well, I've become more of an underdog fan for them at times. And seeing them in the Super Bowl, that was my favorite that year because I believe they beat the Saints to get there, maybe. Maybe not. But they did play a lot. It was always Drew Brees versus Russell Wilson, and that was one that I always watched. And I have them at three solely based on the color scheme. Yeah. It's a phenomenal jersey to look at, and it meshes so well with the theme there in the stadium.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Frazier.
Jimmy, I feel like we're on the same page here. I'm going with the New England Patriots as well.
Great choice.
About it.
Easy enough.
Great choice.
I remember when the Titans played them, and I believe they lost 60-0 in the heavy,
snow. 2009, yes. They lost 59.
That was
to
the
nothing.
First time I ever saw those uniforms. I'm just like, wow,
yeah.
Those are nice.
And it was against their old Oiler uniforms with the blue helmet and the all-white. Yeah, I remember watching that game as a kid and looking back, and I was like, weren't the Titans just the number one seed the year before? Like, what is going on with this team?
Was Mike Vrabel on that team?
I believe he was.
I think he would have been.
He might have been. Oh, I'll have to go back and look. I can't remember if it was 2009 or 2010 when he got traded to Kansas.
Right.
I don't know. But either way, moving on to the final two.
Number two.
This is where the Titans Oilers jerseys fall for me.
Okay.
Listen, when you ask me my favorite color, it is that baby blue. Baby blue is hands. It's my favorite color. I love I hate North Carolina the school.
Sure.
But I love their uniforms. And I love their color scheme just because of the baby blue.
Okay.
The baby blue with the red and the fact that they went with the white helmets and the red face mask.
Mm-hmm.
I mean. It, like I said, it's chef's kiss.
Yeah,
The jerseys look perfect. I love the fit. I think I cannot wait to see Derrick Henry run all over the Houston Texans, putting up another 200 yards against those guys. The Oilers come in at number two for me this season.
Okay, so at number two is going to be the New Orleans Saints for me.
Really?
Yes. I love their throwbacks. I've always loved their throwbacks. They've done different themes. And look, this is where the top 10's always fun for the entire audience. And for us, it's because we are different fans of different teams growing up.
Yes.
And that's why we have places and rankings that are much different. But look, the Saints for me, I'm always going to have a soft spot for them. Now, I'm not a huge fan of what their latest throwback is. That might be what you're thinking.
Oh, okay. So the ones they wore last year, I thought those were hideous.
But yes, they do have some good throwbacks. I like the darker colors, but I really like how the Florida Lee looks.
Yes, the old Florida
right.
Lee look.
I
know what you're talking. Okay.
Yes.
I can settle with those.
Okay.
I can settle with those.
Yes.
Fair enough. Frazier, you're number two.
I'm taking the Tennessee Oilers. Houston Oiler combo here. I'm going to go put that at number two. My number one might shock you all.
Honestly, like with process of elimination, I was going to say that. I was like,
all
okay,
right.
This one's out of the question. This one, okay, where's he going with number one?
Here we go.
All right. Our final one. Number one for me. And y'all have already had it on your list. It's the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay.
I love these uniforms. And maybe it's because they added the lava lamp in the mix in their little promo video. I had the exact same lava lamp color scheme when I was a kid. But whenever I play Madden and I go to the throwback jerseys, these are the throwback jerseys that I go to.
Yeah.
I mean, they look so good. I love the really kind of royal blue with the same neon green that they use in their uniforms nowadays, but with the silver and the silver pants and the silver helmet. I mean, when it just comes together, I think of those old documentaries of the Boz when he used to play for those old Seahawks teams. Don't get me wrong. They sucked. They sucked back
then.
They were awful. But those uniforms, man,
did
they look good. And I can't wait till they unveil them this
year. All right, my number one, the Oilers. And I'm going to go with the latest ones. They've all been the same, if you ask me. There's not too much of a difference when they release these. I mean, they've worn them a little bit before, and I love how much attention the Texans fans have given them. I love the hate. Bring it. This is what the market needs to lead up to the game against them later this season. I will always go to these at number one until something else impresses me. This is the most favorite throwback jersey, almost in sports, I would say, for me personally. I'll go the old Oilers at number one. Frazier, you have a surprising number one. Go for it.
Yes, you both already mentioned it well back in your list. I'm going the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The creamsicles.
I'm taking the creamsicles.
Okay, listen, you told me I was going to be shocked. I am not shocked.
Why is that?
Because I actually like them. I mean, they actually made my top five. But where you lost me when you put Colts at six? I'm still kind of losing it over that.
I just want to make sure you both were engaged.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, that definitely woke me up. So I top 10 overall, 615-737-1025. Who had the best top 10? Who had the best uniform rankings? I think because obviously we're in Nashville. Titans fans might go with Nick because he did put the Oilers at number one. But for me, Seahawks just slightly edged. I mean, I went back and forth on this. Like, it kept me up last night.
Yeah, and I mean, look, our top three, you and I's top three, is pretty similar. You know, I've got Oilers, Saints, Seahawks, but I think it's pretty interchangeable for debate. So I really want to hear from our listeners. So give us a call, text us. I want to go through those as well. So we'll see where it goes. But I really have enjoyed our segments to end our program, and I'm looking forward to this next one too, Junie.
Absolutely. So coming up next, we always like to cap off with a little bit of Nashville SC.
The boys
got a big signing this week. They did have a tough loss. We're going to kind of get into the state of the team after we were in a bit of panic mode last week. We're going to cap off the show again with some Nashville SC. You're listening to Riddle and the Reporter here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
You're listening to Riddle and the Reporter on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
I don't think we can say that everyone's really right on the button right now. That can be fatigue at this stage of the season, of course. We can certainly say that the climate has affected, the way that players go about their business throughout the 90 minutes. It's also choices of when to track players, when some of the communication that goes on. And there's a lot of breakdowns at the moment. And they made absolutely the most of it. The first goal that we saw at half-time from the throw-in. For a group as well-versed as this one is, it's hugely disappointing.
That was Gary Smith talking about the state of Nashville SC after their 4-3 loss the other day. But before we get into that, join Caroline Fenton at Lou Haven Farm today from 2 to 4 p.m. for I Am a Difference Maker 7th Annual Cornhole Tournament and Barbecue Cook-Off. 100% of the proceeds will go to help local families in need. For more info, visit IamADifferenceMakerToday/events. I think it's going to be a great little outing. Caroline Fenton should have a really good time out there doing that. But Nashville SC, I felt like we were in full panic mode last week.
Just a little bit.
Because the team was in like a six-game losing streak. You know, a lot of players were getting red cards and getting out of the lineup. And
the frustration.
For a portion of it, you know, people were going up and playing international, and they were missing somebody. And it seems like this team has really lost its steam. So they sign, what is it, Sam Surridge?
Yep.
Yes,
Sam joins Surridge. The squad, and he comes from the Premier League.
Nottingham Forest.
Nottingham Forest. And he is now supposed to be, like, the next big addition. Now, explain – you got to put this in real terms because, you know, this is me kind of being a soccer novice. But in the MLS, they have three designated players that don't count against the caps. Typically, you know, Hani Mukhtar is one, and this guy is going to be another. Who's the third player?
Walker Zimmerman.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's what I figured. So he is now the third player that's not going to count against the cap for Nashville SC. So hopefully he brings a surge. But they had a tough game the other night, Frazier. Mm-hmm. Do you want to kind of get into what you saw?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, before we get to the game, Sam Surridge was, introduced to the fans of Nashville SC at the stadium, but also had access to the media. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I got stuck behind the train over at Wedgwood, so couldn't get there in time. But
that's okay.
Another media member ended up tweeting out a picture of him being introduced to all the media, and he quote tweeted and said, "I want to break records here."
That's what I was going to go to. Yes.
With Sam Surridge saying something like that, I look at it from a different perspective. Yes, it's great to have a guy from England that is a perennial goal scorer as a number nine, but at the same time, you also have to remember he's out to kind of benefit his own wealth as well. So if he is able to score 15 to 20 goals, yeah, that's the opportunity that you want to have here in Nashville.
Yep.
But at the same time, he probably is watching out for himself.
Yeah.
So for him to say that he wants to break records, I also believe if he does have 15 to 20 goals in the first two seasons, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Like, no.
If he goes into the rest of this season and, you know, ends up scoring 8 or 9 goals, that's productive.
It is
very productive.
So first, I want to – how much is he getting paid for, one? And two, you know, a few years ago, Nashville SC went out and got one of these players from the Mexican League and got Ake Loba. And obviously he was a bit of a flop for Nashville SC and all the money that they were paying him.
That's where my mind went.
What is the difference in this signing, and what's the financial difference? Because I believe they were playing Loba like, what, $6 million or
6.8.
So? Yep.
And so with Sam Surridge, the transfer fee was at $6.4 million.
Okay.
That was a conversion of the £5 million. So to American dollars, that's $6.4 million.
Okay.
But with fees, it could go up to near 7-ish.
Wow.
Okay.
From the knowledge that I've read online. So it could be a very good signing. It could also be not a very good signing.
Mm-hmm.
With Nashville, I really hope this is not the trend where we sign a bunch of, you know, guys that we want to, kind of with the Titans and Preds. They have potential. We just need to get over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm a little worried if this guy does pan out, which I really hope he does, and I think he will.
Sure.
He's going to provide a lot of extra stability up top. I know with Teal Bunbury recently, he's had a red card in the last League's Cup match. And
he did.
His touch has not been up to par from my perspective. And it's just unfortunate to see him in this poor form because he's a really serviceable player.
Mm-hmm.
He can help, you know, set up play. He can help, you know, dish the ball out to the left and right flanks of the pitch. And unfortunately, you know, he actually did help set up the Luke Hockenson goal the other night. Dished it out to Schaffelberg out the left flank, and Hockenson ended up putting it in the back of the net through a cross. So, there are some benefits to this. I do think once all the visa stuff is situated with Surridge, this guy's about to be an immediate impact for Nashville SC.
He will. I think that's a great way to go about it. I think the other thing that stood out to me about his presser too, Nick, was he said he also left Nottingham with his head held high. I was reading through some different stories at the time that when it was announced and after the press conference and things, and I paid attention to the game that night too. And much like you mentioned, you know, Teal there and his struggle, there are a couple of guys that unfortunately could be replaced and could see a lot less minutes because of this. And he is a true number nine, but we do have Hani. So that's something to consider too, is what kind of approach will Gary have? And I think, just based on how Gary has sounded, I think he's very adamant that he would like to see his team take the next step. And I'm just going to give some fans the perspective from even the standings too. That I saw this last night, but want to go back over this now. Is Nashville is in fourth place in the Eastern Conference. The East is loaded, I would say. It's been a pretty strong conference to watch this year. I know that New England and Cincinnati have kind of dictated that, and New England will be coming in at some point here pretty soon, I believe. But in the West, if you do put Nashville over in the West, they are pretty high up on there. They're right up there with LAFC.
Yeah.
And so you have to consider that, yes, they had a six-game skid. Yes, they've struggled. Yes, it's frustration among the players. But this is an adjustment period. They can come back. It's all on their own. Like I said last week, this is the time where they can capitalize on the opportunity in front of them. They have a fresh face, and hopefully not only is Sam motivated, but it's going to motivate the teammates, his new guys that are going to be part of his life and the type of chemistry they'll establish. So I'm excited to see where it goes.
So this is what I want to ask. When is this guy going to, you know, get in the starting lineup and start making an impact? And whose spot is it going to take? Is it going to be Fafa? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be
could be.
Whose spot is going to get taken?
I'm glad you asked that question, because there was a lot of speculation. When is this guy going to play?
Or so Schaffelsberg.
With Nashville SC, with their loss the other night, it leads them in a tight position. They cannot really win their group in the League's Cup. They could. They need a 1-0, exact 1-0 win from Colorado against Toluca, which is very unlikely for them mm-hmm. to go all atop of their group. But the best they can do is finish second. And we don't know when that game would be, but the next home game would be against New England, August the 20th. And around that time, that's about 3 weeks from now, and I was looking online for athletes in this transfer market for soccer. It's roughly around the visa takes around 2 to 3 weeks. The three-week mark is what it's kind of getting at now, and that's around the time that we'll see him. I wouldn't be surprised to see him come off the bench. That's my probability of a pick. Wouldn't see him start, maybe, possibly if he's fit in shape enough, but got to get him back in the soccer shape.
Well, you got to get him back in shape, got to sure. You know, build some chemistry with the starting lineup. And, I mean, this is what we saw with Loba. You know, he never really stopped mm-hmm. coming off the bench
no.
because
yeah.
he never
yeah.
really fit into this team. But
now, to answer your question, though, about who he'll go in for,
yeah.
Teal Bunbury, without a doubt.
I think so,
because
too.
Because they both complement the same style of play. They're tall. They'll utilize his height. But at the same time, this guy can pass the ball, and he's a perennial goal scorer. He can get mm-hmm. behind the defense. And I'm telling you, once Nashville SC gets Jack Mayer back, Randall Leal back, once they get their core guys back, because there was a lot of disconnect between the defense the mm-hmm. other night, once mm-hmm. they get all that back, my personal opinion, I really do think this team is on the upswing. They're done with their little rut of up-and-down roller coaster results. Once they get their core guys back, this team is going to be back to where they were.
And I think Mike Culp shot Frazier super fast. I think he'll start against Atlanta. I think that would be the time period I would give him to be a starter on the roster.
And it's tough coming back, though, because look at the three games that they got, you know, when they do come back.
They have Messi soon.
I know. They have New England Revolution, who's there right now. They're second in the standings in the East, 5 points ahead of Nashville SC. Then you got Atlanta United. They're sitting there at the seventh seed, kind of in the bottom of the playoff marker in the standings. And then you got to go to Miami to play Messi and Inter Miami. And right now, they look a little bit unstoppable. So you're talking about three tough games in the mix. I would say if you could get two out of the three and guys start coming back healthy, maybe you could start to see a run as we get into September and into early October when the playoffs start to kick off. But, you know, that's tough billing to ask for a team that has really been struggling to come back and get back into it.
Absolutely.
But that is all the time that we have today. We appreciate you listening to Riddle and the Reporter. We will be back next Saturday from 9 to 11 right here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.